ready for 3 years? I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth, stop running from the people. We're out here, we're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I interview with any team at any time. I've been ready, I'm staying ready, and I'll continue to be ready. We'll be waiting to hear from Roger Goodell, the NFL, the 32 teams. We'll let you know if we hear from them. Ball's in their court, we're ready to go.
Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. That erupt, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants or Jets, Yankees or Mets, Knicks or Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
LB! And please, pardon my French, as we bring you all a new episode of Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, November 18th, 2019, and this show airs from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you won't miss a damn thing. And listeners, as we always ask, please spread the news to your family, friends, and loved ones, and let them know about this exciting show we have going on here. Me and Mad Mike are also on social media. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter. LLOYD to help you out with the spelling. Be sure to hit that follow button. And if you got any questions that you'd like for me and Mad Mike to answer on this show, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@partmyfresh.com. You can send them directly to the website, or you can hit us up through social media and ask questions on that as well. Listeners, we have a great show for you today. Actually, we might extend the show a little bit as we have so much to talk about. We got to talk about this whole Colin Kaepernick situation. Was it a farce? Was it sincerity by the NFL? We'll touch upon that. And boy, oh boy, is the Knicks organization a joke as they continue to show the basketball universe what, oh man. We're going to touch upon that as well. We're going to tackle some other things as well. So listeners, please, as always, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Ayo! Let's get it!
How sweet it is. It's Monday. That means the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show is back. Let's go.
As always, we gotta find out where the Mad Mike is, listeners, and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lord, I've had an eventful weekend. I'm just getting back to New York, but, you know, I went from Atlanta watching Kaepernick to D.C. to watch the New York Jets and back into New York to hopefully get some Knicks info to the listeners.
Listen, Mad Mike, talking about Kaepernick, let's start off with Colin Kaepernick, as this has been a big to-do over the last week or so. So the former, listeners, the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback, Colin Kaepernick, much anticipated NFL workout, was all but scuttled Saturday when he made a last-minute venue change, okay, and the league responded that he was a no-show. All right, the 32-year-old free agent, in a statement, you know, said that the venue was changed to allow the media to attend the NFL, had planned a private workout at the Atlanta Falcons training center, and, you know, and where the Falcons practice, but Kaepernick finished his workout. Then he met with fans, you know, who lined the field after the 40-minute workout. Sources for Kaepernick said that at least seven NFL teams attended the showcase, listeners. The NFL said that 25 clubs were present, and all 32 teams would have received video footage of the event if he would have went to where it was supposed to be originally. All right, and the Colin Kaepernick, I'm sorry, listeners, the NFL said that they're disappointed that Colin did not appear for his workout. All right? They said that the session was designed to give Colin what he consistently said he wanted, and that was an opportunity to show NFL teams that he was ready and his desire to return to the NFL. Now, here's the thing, listeners and Mad Mike, okay? NFL teams hold workouts for players, and this was stated by Marcus Spears, who played with the Dallas Cowboys for several years. He said teams hold practices for players on Tuesdays. Okay, Colin Kaepernick has been out of football for 3 years, listeners. 3 years. Okay, if an NFL team wanted Colin Kaepernick so bad, they would have had an open work. They would have had him come in to the organization and hold a workout to see what was going on with him. Correct? Am I right or wrong, Mad Mike?
Am I right? That's right.
Right. Now, so here's the thing. People are saying that Jay-Z is behind this whole thing with him having a workout. Mad Mike, long story short.
Well, this is a bunch of BS. You know, that story broke on Friday that Jay-Z basically told Roger Goodell that he had to give Colin Kaepernick.
We lost Mad Mike. Listening, so until he comes back, I'm going to keep on saying, but the league also said that it bent over backwards for the free agent by allowing him to bring his own video crew and use his own receivers and approving and advertising shot sponsored by Nike during the workout. And Kaepernick's representatives said in a statement that the media would have been shut out of the Falcons facility and they wanted transparency. They also said that the NFL wanted him to sign a waiver they described as unusual, the league said. It was standard.
Well, Lord, you hear me now?
We got you. We got you back.
Is my mic working now?
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah, one, Jay-Z apparently was behind, stories broke Friday night that Jay-Z was behind the workout. The story stated that Jay-Z informed Roger Goodell. I don't know how true this is. It's not like I can't tell you that I've confirmed it myself, but basically he put his reputation on the line for their partnership. And basically, you know, like he's going to lose credibility if Kaepernick doesn't get his shot. So I don't know if you've touched on this yet, but I don't know how you feel about it, but If I'm Colin Kaepernick, it was just Veterans Day. You know what I mean? Like, they're supporting the veterans this week. So, one, I always thought it was shady because this is the worst week to give him his shot, in my opinion, right? Because his whole movement, even though it's not about the veterans, his whole movement, the NFL turned it and Donald Trump turned it and Drew Brees have turned it. Like we've all said, they've turned this into a matter of him being unpatriotic. Why is this the week of all weeks you're going to give him his opportunity? So to me, that was already strike one against the league because look at you know, everything that's going on today, all the commercials or yesterday and actually tonight, you'll see it too with all the shout outs to the veterans. That's one. Two, how you give a man 4 day notice? Like you said, workouts and tryouts happen on Tuesdays. Do you know why they happen on Tuesdays? It's the one day off of the week. It's the one day where no one's traveling. It's the one day where scouts are available. It's where the coaches are available. They're not, you know, they're not stuck in game planning for on Saturday for Sunday's game. They're not traveling. GMs, everybody is available to go to these workouts. The NFL never intended. They never intended for him to get an actual shot in a workout for everybody to see.
And listen,
it just wasn't the case.
And also add this into the fray as well, listeners and Mad Mike. It's week 11. It's week 11. This season is almost over. What sense does it even make, listeners and Mad Mike, for any NFL team to sign Colin Kaepernick right now? Why not wait until next?
No. Here's the sense it makes. It builds into the story that we're telling, the narrative that me and you are telling. It doesn't build into the narrative that they want you to actually believe. Here's what it is. If he comes into a team now, what playbook is he going to learn in week 11 where he's going to be able to start in a week or two and go in and actually look good? What chemistry is he going to build with whatever team he goes in? The whole point of this is to give him such a condensed time frame to get in there and actually look competent. So they can sell you on the fact that, see, we told you that he was no good. We told you his better days are past him.
And that's the whole point. That's the point that I'm making. Why not just wait till the offseason? Week 11?
that's the whole thing.
I'm surprised he even did it.
Nah, Lord. But if you wait until the offseason, he's going to go into an NFL team. He's going to have an entire offseason in their program. He's probably going to come out and set the world on fire in the preseason. And then what?
I get what, you know, the sense of it. This is what I'm saying. Like, it makes no sense to me as compared to why the NFL did it. It's basically what I'm saying. Like, I'm just really slapping the NFL in the face. Like, why?
Here's another thing, Lloyd. I get what you're saying, the whole why of it. Here's another thing to consider. At 4 o'clock, what time is kickoff on Saturdays for college football in the afternoon? 3:30, right? So they were going to have his workout at 3 p.m., a half hour ahead of kickoff for most of the main football games on Saturday. Where you're going to have
the Georgia-Auburn game, which was a huge game.
But that's my whole point, where you're going to have a lot of NFL scouts. A lot of NFL scouts are in week 11, week 12. Remember something, we only have 2 more weeks of regular season football in college. We only have 2 more weeks of regular season. So they're doing all their scouting now. Their background, this is it. So who is going to come watch Colin Kaepernick? That mattered as a scout. Who?
I agree.
Think about it.
He
insisted, the league insisted on Hugh Jackson being the coach driving the workout, right? Hugh Jackson, who everyone laughed out of Cleveland, right? The same, all of a sudden, this is the guy that's going to run Colin Kaepernick's workout. Colin Kaepernick fought with the league to have his own wide receiver crew, people that he's worked out with, people that he trusted. No one's talking about that. Like the waiver that you're talking about. The fact that there was going to be no media. They even refused to let him. And this was the breaking point. They weren't going to let him film his own workout. Only the league was going to be allowed to keep film on this workout. And they were going to have any say. They gave him 2 hours. 2 hours to agree to all their stipulations just to get a workout. Think about it. Does that in any way sound favorable to anybody? Anybody?
And, you know, I'm listening to shows and talk shows and, you know, Stephen A. Smith saying Colin Kaepernick better show up. Really? Like, when I hear Stephen A. Smith say stuff like that, I'm like, come on, man.
You know what bothers me about Stephen A. Smith? You know what bothers me about him?
He's a coon.
He plays the race card when it's convenient for him, right? He's a guy that's always talking about, why do we have to capitulate and conform? But then you're going to go after Colin Kaepernick, and that's exactly what you're saying he needs to do. Is conform to what they're dictating, what they're saying he needs to do. Explain to me. And you know me, I don't care to bring race into everything. Just don't. It's not my thing. But if you're gonna be that guy, if you're Stephen A. Smith who's done it numerous times and you're talking this way, how dare you say that he's got to conform? Explain that one to me.
And here's the thing: Tuesday, Kaepernick tweeted that he's been in shape and ready for 3 years. And we've seen video footage of him in the last 3 years of him throwing the football around, and he has looked good. There's no way on God Green's earth that anybody could tell me that there are 64 quarterbacks in NFL that are better than Colin Kaepernick. No way.
No, but you want to know what else, Lloyd? Something else that bothers me. And you could tell me, Mike, I don't agree with your comparison. Or you could be like, you know, I never thought about it that way. Maybe there's something to it. You know, going into the draft process, remember how everybody knocked Lamar Jackson and everyone was saying Lamar Jackson is a wide receiver. There's nowhere in this league for his style of quarterback. It's just not going to last. Everybody loves him now, right? Everyone's over here talking about, MVP talk, MVP race, this and that. Well, you know who's the offensive coordinator for John Harbaugh Jim Harbaugh or whichever Harbaugh it is over there in Baltimore? It's Greg Roman, who, by the way, was the offensive coordinator for the other Harbaugh in San Francisco. So in Baltimore, they're playing the Colin Kaepernick offense. Lamar Jackson has become an MVP candidate playing in the exact offense Colin Kaepernick went to the Super Bowl in. So we're still going to sit here and say that there's no place in this league for this man?
Yeah, I mean, and then obviously they come out with video footage immediately of him throwing the ball, and there's reports where he didn't help himself from his workout and all this other kind of stuff. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, stop. You're not fooling me.
He can still sling it, Lloyd. He can still throw the darts.
Shame on the people who fell for the okie doke from the NFL. Shame on all of you. Shame on all of you. I had listeners tweet me out and reaching out to me about, oh, Colin Kaepernick. I said, listen, man, this is all a joke. At the end of the day, nobody's going to sign Colin Kaepernick. It's all a joke.
Yeah, I think the NFL did themselves more harm than good in this situation, though, because if you're looking at some of us that had already resigned ourselves to the fact that he just wasn't going to get a shot, and then you go and you do this, it's just like it just makes
But I mean, just look at the statements of the NFL. We had 25 teams committed to viewing the workout, and the rest of the leagues were going to get videos. You know, they're trying to make themselves look like the good guys.
Yeah, but okay. And ask yourself this. And this is, I will say, I give much respect to the Jets. I give much respect to the Dolphins. I give much respect to the Chiefs, because they still went. They still jumped in their car and drove that 1 hour to they got enough notice, jumped in their car to go scout him. Joe Douglas and whoever he sent, those guys went and did it. But you know what bothered me more about that? Miami Dolphins are looking to draft a quarterback. We know that, right? They're going to draft a quarterback this year, in this coming draft. That's the whole reason they're tanking. Tank for Tua, who, by the way, dislocated his hip, might never be the same quarterback. But that's nor here nor there. The Jets think they're set with Sam Darnold. We know the Chiefs are set with Patrick Mahomes. So teams that actually probably have no interest in him starting for them went and still scouted him. Shame on the rest of the league. You don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mason Rudolph, who just laid another egg, could scout him in case Ben is not the same? You don't think that? Well, we know the Giants. I don't know why the Giants, but you know, like the Maras have already come out and said.
A bunch of Jacksonville. Let's go to Jackson. There's a bunch of teams that we could throw out there that could either use him as a starter or a solid backup. Period. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I'm talking about like tell me 25 teams are going to be there. The New York Giants have already come out publicly and said that we listen to our fan base and we would never sign it. So they're one of those 25. That's why, to me, it rings hollow.
And now, yeah, that's exactly why. Let's throw this out there also, listeners. If all the scouts that would be, they weren't top shelf scouts, the main dogs, they weren't.
No, but that's what I said. The main scouts are on the road watching NCAA games on Saturday. That's exactly where they are, the main scouts.
Man, listen, Kaepernick's former teammate, Eric Reed, however, he expressed concern that the NFL arranging a workout from the former quarterback was a publicity stunt. Bing, 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 bing. And shout out to Eric Reed. You know why, listeners? Because Eric Reed has been the one dude that throughout this entire situation, and I think he's with Carolina right now. Am I correct, man, Mike?
Yep, Carolina.
He's the one dude that is consistently stuck by Kaepernick's side throughout this entire situation, whether or not he got an NFL job or didn't get an NFL job. And he's been calling a spade throughout this entire situation. And players, for that matter.
Yep.
And it was during the lawsuit versus reporters on Wednesday, and Reed was wearing a black T-shirt with the hashtag, I'm with Cap. Shout out to Reed. Shout out to him. He said, every move that the NFL has made up until this point has been a PR move for them. It's been disingenuous.
Yeah.
He doesn't think that this is any different. And he's 100% right. Which team is going to sign Colin Kaepernick? No one. Nobody's going to sign him. No one. Oh, yeah, we
can
call out a bunch of teams
what?
That should sign him, but no one's going to sign him.
I was also happy to hear Kaepernick talk afterwards, go back and tell the owners, we're waiting now on the owners and Roger Goodell. Go back and tell them that, stop being scared. They can sign me. I'm happy he said it, because in the end of the day, that's what this is about. This is about ownership being scared of their fan base or being scared of retaliation from other owners or, whatever the hell it is. I'm happy he said it. You know, I'm happy he's not conforming totally. Obviously, you know, he's got to, you got to conduct yourself in a certain manner. But it's not like Colin Kaepernick has ever been somebody in trouble, you know, in the streets. It's not someone that's been in any kind of mess off, you know, outside of the field. So I don't see why he needs to change the way he is. If he believes in something, he could believe in it. And I'll give you an example. And this is something that somebody else said to me recently. The NFL has breast cancer awareness, right? Not everybody supports breast cancer awareness. Whether you think it's right or wrong, not everybody does. The NFL believes in it. Therefore, the NFL celebrates it, right? That's what all the pink is at the end of September into October, right? Well, what about veterans? This whole veteran movement they got. Not everybody supports Veterans Day. There are people in this country that are immigrants that have had family members murdered by our government for whatever reason you want to believe. So, but they celebrate that. So, in the end of the day, that's because that's what the NFL believes in. Is what I'm saying. He believes in something. He should stop believing in it because he plays in the NFL. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, and I mean, just to run down for the listeners and those who may not be aware of who Colin Kaepernick is, which I'm assuming that most of you should, but, you know, he's not been signed by any team since he opted out of his contract with the 49ers in March of 2017 to become a free agent.
And I will say, Lloyd, that's his biggest mistake here.
Yeah.
His biggest mistake to me was opting out. He opted out to save face, and I thought that was the biggest mistake. I think that what he should have done to really, really help his case, he should have never opted out, because that gave the league the opportunity to say he willingly did this to himself. If he would have forced the 49ers' hand to cut him for whatever the reason was, then we'd be having a much stronger argument here.
Yeah, and the actions led to intense backlash when he decided to begin kneeling during the national anthem before games to protest systematic racism. Donald Trump tweeted out against it, yada, yada, et cetera, et cetera. And also Trump suggested that the NFL, you know, would have suspended Kaepernick, which, you know, would have stopped him from milling. And right now, at this present day and age, I think if players kneel during the national anthem, they get fined a substantial amount of money, but they can leave the field during the national anthem and go back to the locker room. And I've seen
because it doesn't matter to them, Lloyd. It doesn't matter to people in the NFL whether you stand or not. What matters to them is the optics, the perception. Someone on one knee, on camera, during the national anthem. Why? Because they get paid. The NFL gets paid to do the national anthem before the game on TV. That's a fact. Look it up. That's why they don't want this. Not because they don't believe in what he's kneeling for. It's because they don't want, because of the money they're collecting, they don't want the backlash and the perception. That's why we're having this argument in every freaking state, city in this country is over perception. It's not over right or wrong.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you, like you said, you know, this could be some type of leading to the forefront of the headlines, that, you know, to be on the back page of the newspapers and be talked about, you know, and be talked about on different types of, you know, shows, whether it's CNN or NBC, because usually they don't cover sports like that. But this is a big thing for the NFL, a huge thing. But like Reed said, it's a big publicity stunt. Big publicity stunt. I mean, how relevant is the NFL at this point, man, Mike? It's not. It's really not. It's really not that relevant at all.
What is the NFL doing, right? Ask yourself this. The NFL, as a matter of fact, yesterday in the Ravens Texans game, they blew another pass interference call. It was god awful, and everybody is going absolutely nuts on them. How do you change the narrative when your on field product is starting to slip? When people are starting to criticize different parts of your game, even the announcers are starting to really go in on it. You have to change the narrative. You have to create other headlines, other things to talk about. This is one of them. This is one way to get that going. It's just that. What did the NFL do? I'm not saying that this was planned before, but you know, you have Myles Garrett, and you had a situation on Thursday where it was clear that the Browns defenders were out there to injure Pittsburgh Steelers, to take them out of the game, to increase the likelihood they would win the game. That's exactly what you had on Thursday. And everybody was talking about it. It was not just the Myles Garrett. It was everything. It had a Steeler on an incomplete pass get wiped out 3 seconds after the ball goes over his head and leaves with his eardrum bursted, blood coming out of it. The NFL knows what they're doing. They know what they're doing, Lloyd.
Yeah, that was an ugly sight with Garrett swinging a helmet, you know, hitting Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph in the head.
But look at me and you.
Pouncey, you know, kicking him in the head while he was on the ground.
That's my point. But look at what me and you are talking about right now. They know what they're doing. Me and you are, instead of talking about the ugliness of the NFL and their missteps, we're over here talking about Colin Kaepernick, someone that we know is not going to get a job. But why? Because we have to talk about it.
Because it's wrong. He just says he's not going to get a job. And I think Colin Kaepernick knows that he's not going to get a job. That's why, like he said at the interview, he said, listen, I've been ready for 3 years.
But that's why he also changed the venue. That's why he did it his way. He can videotape.
Yeah.
So he could have other media there to tell the truth about the workout. Because if that tape hit an NFL editing desk, you have no idea what was going to be on there. Every single missed throw might be on there instead of every hit. Every 60-yard bomb overthrown or underthrown might be on there instead of the 5 that he hit.
But you want to know what? It's so funny that you say that, Mad Mike, and listeners, because I was watching video footage that was put up by ESPN and all this, and guess what it was? It was passes that he made that were completed, but the receiver was turning around or had to slow down to catch the ball. And I'm sure every pass wasn't thrown in that manner. No way in the world every pass was thrown in that manner. Now, no one is perfect. If you watch the NFL Combine or you watch quarterbacks warm up, sometimes receivers have to wait on the ball to turn around because the ball may be slightly, you know, behind them or whatever the case may be. That's what happens from a quarterback's perspective. That's what happens. Not every quarterback throws a perfect pass 100% of the time. But guess what footage I'm seeing when ESPN is talking about it and things that have and entities that have relationships with the NFL, listeners, is passes of that. When a receiver is slowing down to catch the ball, the receiver is turning around and backpedaling to catch the ball. That's what they're giving to you right now.
That's what, like Daniel Jeremiah said. He said that from Mexico City, talking about a scout for the NFL Network, the top scout for the NFL Network, the top draft scout, once Mike Mayock left, he was in Mexico City. Tells you what? Not only was he not going to attend the Colin Kaepernick workout on the high school field, but he also wasn't going to attend in the Atlanta training facility either. What is that guy? If you're really trying to sell us that this is real, that's the first guy I want looking at him. Instead, he's doing live tweets on the live feed. He's watching and saying, still elite arm talent, still elite athleticism, but I don't see the touch. I don't see anything on the back shoulder. Like, seriously, dude? You're watching a live feed on YouTube while you're in Mexico City talking to me about what Colin Kaepernick can and can't do? Seriously? Like, you're the lead scout for the NFL Network. And you want me to believe that the NFL had good intentions here? Come on, man. Come, like, seriously, dude. Like, I always say, there's something I always say. It's not liars that I hate. I don't hate liars. People lie, right? What I hate are the people that disrespect my common sense. You know what I mean? Like,
amen.
I'm not a dumb brother. I'm not a dumb brother. Don't treat me like I'm a dumb brother who, just because you said it, I'm supposed to believe it.
And that's immediately the way I felt when this whole thing came out about him getting a tryout. And then the more people talked about it, the angrier I got about the situation. Which team to sign Kaepernick? Like, come on, man. You know ain't nobody signing no damn Colin Kaepernick. Stop with this already.
But I will say one thing. If you're the New York Jets and Sam Darnold has missed at least three games in both of his first two seasons, and you saw what their backup quarterback situation was like, hell yeah. You know what? He should be on their radar. But I don't know if he would take anything less than a starting role, but he should be on the New York Jets radar.
If he's trying to get his foot in the door back up, whatever the case may be, I'm pretty sure Colin Kaepernick would take the role as a backup quarterback and work hard to get the starting gig. But before we go to a break, Mad Mike, I wanted to get your opinion on this, okay? We talk about Jay-Z and Jay-Z being responsible for making this happen. Now, Jay-Z is not an ignorant individual. He's not unintelligent. Obviously, he had to know that the same thing that we see, that none of these teams are going to sign Colin Kaepernick, okay? And it's week 11. So what sense did that make in that sense? But do you think that this was all done to save his grace from within the black community and minorities and people that were like calling him a sellout and all that? Do you think this was done so he can be like, hey guys, I tried?
Yes. Yeah, I think, like I just finished saying, perception. Perception is reality in this country. You know what I mean? That's why you have people that's why you have people, Democrats that think absolutely everything that our president is doing is ill-intended. And then you have others that think just because the Democrats are going after him, that they're just going after him because of who he is and he's Republican. And it's all about perception, right? We just finished saying the league wanted to dictate the perception of this workout. Well, Jay-Z at the same time wants to dictate the perception of him. You know, he doesn't want to be viewed as a sellout. I'm 100% sure that he knows that regardless of what took place at that workout, whatever he knew, whether it was a real chance or not, he's just trying to drive the perception. Like you just said, listen, I went in there and I fought for him. He got a workout because
if he truly did that, why wasn't he there? Unless he was performing a concert or something like that. If he was really for Cap, man, Mike, he would have been there. Listen, if he's really for Cap, he would have been there. He would have been there front and center.
I don't disagree with you. But at the same time, I'll tell you this, Cap, Lloyd.
From the jump.
We don't know.
If you supported him, you would have been there.
We don't know if he was there or not, because maybe he did go, but he refused to leave the Atlanta's Falcons training facility. We have no idea. That's the thing about Cap not going there. We don't know who was there. Because those who were there either chose to follow to where he was at, hence why I said Miami Jets and Kansas City, much props. And then you had others that were going to stick by the NFL's narrative that he screwed them over. The one problem that I have is something that I didn't mention before we go to break real quick, is Colin Kaepernick notified the league at 2 p.m. that he was moving the workout. The league never put out a statement, never informed anybody. Remember something, Colin Kaepernick's team informed Adam Schefter at 2:30 that they had decided to push it back and move the workout. The league was notified and never said anything. No one's talking about that.
And the fact they consider him a no-show, they're basically saying like, yeah, we, you know, even though you're saying you moved it, no, you wasn't here. So as far as we go, you're a no-show.
But that's my point. That's exactly my point. That's the narrative that they were trying, and meaning the NFL, they were going to tell the story that he was a no-show. That's why they never put out the press release. That's why they never informed anybody. That's why Colin Kaepernick had to inform everybody himself at 2:30, even though he put an official notification to the league at 2:00. Think about that for a second. So the league was trying to stay quiet from 2 to 3:00. So they can call him a no-show. If Cap didn't put that out to Adam Schefter, we would have never known that he got moved to 4:00 to another location. It would have never happened. Just more food for thought.
Yeah, what a joke. Such a joke. Man, what a joke. But let's move forward. Let's take a quick commercial break because we still have so much more to talk about. We got to talk about the New York Knicks and the joke of an organization they are. And we got to talk some Houston Astros. You know, something about the Houston Astros, listeners, is the Houston Astros. And, you know, they look like they're going to be in trouble for cheating. So we're going to touch up on that and some other things. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk. So listeners, the first half of the show, we talked about the Colin Kaepernick situation with the NFL and the NFL putting on this farce, whatever, man.
This farce.
Basically, at the end of the day. But moving forward, listeners, we're going to talk about the New York Knicks and the joke of a front office this organization has. So I have a clip that I'm going to play, listeners, of Steve Mills and Scott Perry addressing the media after an abysmal 20-point blowout by a team that's supposed to be worse than the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we're going to play this clip, and then we're going to come back and talk some more about what's going on with this organization. So here's the clip, listeners.
Given that this is our 10th game, we felt we had an obligation to come and speak to you guys. Obviously, Scott and I are not happy with where we are right now. We think the team's not performing to the level that we anticipated or we expected to perform at, and it's something that we think we collectively have to do a better job of delivering the product on the floor that we said we would do at the start of the season. We still believe in our coaching staff. We believe in the plan that Scott and I put together and the players that we've assembled, but we also have to acknowledge that we haven't played at the level we expected to play at. We haven't played we've seen glimpses of how we can play as a team when everything comes together, but we've got to find a way to play complete games at the level that we expect our team to play at. And that's a responsibility that we take collectively, but I also think it's important for us to communicate to our fans that we're not happy where we are right now, and we're committed to making this better, but we have to, as a group, come together and be more consistent in terms of how we play.
So there's a clip, listeners, and immediately after the loss to the Cavaliers that night, you know, up went team president Steve Mills and general manager Scott Perry, you know, ordained, we assume, by James Dolan himself, to hold an impromptu press conference, what I like to call one of the most anonymous phrases in sports. Now, the New York Knicks, I can't even remember them ever doing this before. All right, Mills and Scott Perry repeatedly expressed discontent over the results at that point in time, 10 games into the season, and said that the team hasn't played to the level that they expected, that the team is built for more success than the current record was at the time. All right, watching Mills and Perry, the architects of this disjointed roster, say they weren't pleased with the results, it's like watching a restaurant owner, listeners, complain about a meal after giving a chef only an expired ingredients to work with. Like, come on, you constructed this roster. And talk about throwing somebody under the bus. Okay, I'm not a fan of Fizdale, and I would like to see Fizdale's go. I said it before, I put a lot of the onus on Fizdale. I put a lot of the onus on him. But also, listeners, think about this. He can only coach what he has to work with. The Knicks signed entirely too many forwards, don't have enough point guards. And then they told Dolan that this team was good enough. I'm talking about, when I say they, I'm talking about Scott Perry and Mills told Dolan this team is good enough to make the playoffs. Good enough to make the playoffs. And when Phil Jackson was released of his duties, when he was, I said this when it happened, listeners. I said in order for the Knicks to remove the cancer entirely from this organization, they needed to fire everybody. Everybody. Who didn't they fire? Steve Mills. Steve Mills is part of that cancer. So what happens with cancer, if you don't remove it completely, it starts to spread again. And that is exactly what is happening to this organization right now. When they had the chance, and when they should have let Steve Mills go, they didn't. They didn't. This organization is a joke, okay? And I have a friend, as you know, Mad Mike and listeners, who spent a substantial amount of his career with this organization. And he used to always tell me, hey, man, nobody's going to come to New York. And I'm like, nah, man, people are going to come. Everybody wants to play in New York City. This is the mecca of basketball. It's the bright lights. It's center stage.
You know what's funny? You know what's super funny about you mentioning that you got a friend associated with the Garden for so long? You know me. I normally stay off the social media thing. Don't like it because I don't think you can believe a lot of the things you hear on social media. I just think that you got a lot of phonies, right? But just wanted to give you some context, right? So you've offered insider information from time to time, but it's something that we kind of refrain to do. We speak amongst each other, and then sometimes it makes the show, sometimes it don't. Anyway, you know, I was just reading a Frank Isola article, and recently, as recently as this weekend, I kind of put out there, you know, on the message board, because he was, you know, he always does hit pieces on the Knicks. And I just had mentioned, you know, I see a lot of the fans or fake fans or whoever it is mention things. And I was just like, you know, well, Frank, what have you heard? You know, what has been written about KP that hasn't been true? You know it to be true from inside information. I know it to be true from some inside information. And, yo, the fans jump me. Oh, if you're not going to tell us who your source is and you ain't going to tell us who give us specific examples, then you're the liar. Why should we believe you? Everyone talks this nonsense. Everyone puts these things out because they want to be believed. Now, well, I'm just telling you how people look at it. So people, the reason I'm saying it is people are going to gravitate to the negative in New York. It's just what sells. And we can sit here, me and you, we can say for a fact, like, hey, you're insider. This is never going to change, right? You know me. I never cared for Steve Mills. I've been on this show for 2 years saying it. I hated the Fizdale hire. I supported the Scott Perry hire. But one thing that we both started to do slowly, even though we supported it, was we started kind of coming off of it, right? Because what did we see from him? He was just going and getting his guys. He seemed like a guy that believed that he was never wrong about a player. Case in point, this team board and all these forwards, and then the point guard that they decided to bring in was Elfrid Payton, who, by the way, has always been hurt, who's been inconsistent on the court as a player. And what is he this year? Inconsistent on the court as a player and hurt. So I don't think me and you have ever said anything, even when we waver, right? Because you pegged them as a 40-win playoff team, right?
I said that if
everything breaks right, this team can win anywhere between 32 and 35 games, which I don't think is playoff worthy. But in the East, it should keep them in contention towards the end of March. I've been saying it. We've both been saying it. So we're seeing the cracks. Maybe we didn't see it early enough on, but we see it now. We see that, hey, well, why do you need Bobby Portis when you have Kevin Knox already coming off the bench? Why do you need what's the other cat's name? Taj Gibson. If all he's going to do is push Mitchell Robinson to the bench. You know what I mean? We're starting to see all of these things. Why do you need Elfrid Payton when you should be somewhere in a rotation with Frank and Dennis Smith Jr. somehow? If R.J. Barrett is going to be your two, if you went into the season knowing R.J. is my two and he's going to be starting and playing 35, 36, 38 minutes a game, then your rotation was Frank and Dennis Smith Jr. So, yeah, this plan B, really like plan Z, plan F, whatever you want to call it, is an absolutely horrible plan. We're seeing it now. We didn't see it because we didn't know how they were going to use it on the court.
I mean, and Mills and Perry said they felt like they needed to address the media to convey their frustration to the fans. And I imagine that this only, you know, exaggerated things for those fans who believe that losing now is winning later. The front office's expectation that this roster could compete is laughable. It's laughable. And then messaging that this team should have more wins is not what you want to hear. That's just not what you want to hear from the brass. We're hearing this from the president of basketball operations.
Let me ask you a question. How is this team supposed to have more wins? They just blew a 15-point lead on Saturday night at home to Charlotte. And why is that? Because they don't have a clear leader on the floor. They don't. You have drives where they can go four drives in a row where Julius Randle and Marcus Morris are the only two to touch the ball and take the shots. Then they have others where it's Bobby Portis comes in and all of a sudden he thinks he's the only one on the court that can score. Why? Because you have a bunch of one-year guys who have to get their number so they can hit the market again, too. What is that? And that's the only defense I'm going to make of Fizdale. And you know that I don't like the guy. You know I don't like his rotations. You know I don't like his belief that positionless basketball is a successful art, because this is what you get. This is exactly what you get. When you convince your subordinates that you can win with positionless basketball, they do something careless like get you zero point guards. And you want to know what? You have to get it done, because you're the one that told them, I could get it done without a point guard. Positionless basketball means positionless basketball, right? It means that I can go out there and win games with five power forwards. And that's what it means.
And then the part that sucks, listeners, is that this team is going to lose. And they're going to be in position for the NBA lottery's draft again. And guess what happens? They're not going to end up with the first pick. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers.
I mean, I hope they do. Man, Greg Anthony's son is something special. No, but
here's the thing, man. You know, the Sixers got Ben Simmons. They got Joel Embiid. Remember they had that stint where they had, like, the three first picks?
See, that's the thing, Lloyd. That's the thing that I hope Jeff fans, they're learning too. But that's the one thing that I hope Knicks fans realize. The Sixers might seem special, but people don't realize how many missed. Think about it: Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, yeah, Markelle Fultz,
yeah.
Yep. Like, if me and you, we can go Dario Saric, who never became anything special. We can go down the line. They missed on Michael Carter Williams, right? That's how you say his name?
Yeah,
Michael Carter Williams.
Yep.
Yeah, let's keep going. You want to keep going? They tanked for 5 or 6 years. They were the worst team in the NBA for 5 or 6 years. And I'm talking about complete embarrassment. And just think to yourself what they came away with, two players. Yeah. All those years, you came away with two players.
But also, man, Mike, the fact that they was losing that much and they were still in position to get high picks, this whole thing with the NBA changing
the team
with the most, you know what I'm saying? Like, before this started happening, teams that had the worst record in NBA ended up with the first pick for the most part. It was a rare occasion when it didn't happen, but that's the way it should be. Especially with all these mega teams forming. Are you serious? Are you serious? Teams that get their brains beat night in and night out should end up with the first pick. Especially with players that dictate where they want to go.
But I will tell you this. Bad teams, I'll defend. I'll defend a bad team. I won't defend a team that's bad because they have a bad front office. You know what I mean? Orlando was bad for a long time because they had a bad front office. The Knicks are bad right now, not because they have bad talent. The Knicks are bad right now because the Knicks have a bad front office. They have a front office that had a really bad plan. When was the last time the Knicks had $80 million to spend in free agency? Not only did they have $80 million, but they had a team that had four lottery picks, and the number three overall already had four lottery picks on the roster and had the number three pick in this year's draft and $80 million, 70-something million dollars to spend. Like, when you're looking at all of those things, to me, that's when I'm saying – it's a bad front office, and for that I don't defend them, and I'm not going to fight the NBA for changing the lottery system for that, because a good front office would have got this done.
Yeah, and let's also point out that both Mills and Perry backed Fizdale and said they believe in him and his vision, but there was no other way to look at that. You know, as Sunday's precedent, the table setting for the eventual scapegoat.
Here's what I'll tell you, Lloyd. I've actually been told that there is a higher likelihood, and the likelihood of being 50-50, there's a higher likelihood that Mark Jackson would finish the year as the New York Knicks coach than David Fizdale finishing the year as the New York Knicks head coach as of this week, this past week.
But here's my thing, Mad Mike. If that's the case, right, why didn't they just sign him from the jump? What the hell was the problem?
Well, here's the thing. And here's the only reason. I agree with you 100%. 100%. But I think that this front office, and I didn't think it at the time. I was in full support. But I thought it about the coaching hire. I didn't think about Scott Perry. I think that this front office was put in place because they thought that Scott Perry would appeal. Scott Perry was on the Seattle Seahawks front office that drafted KD, supposedly had a good relationship. I think he got hired specifically for his connection there. And I think that David Fizdow got hired specifically for his relationship with these star players. But what's the one thing I told you? Of those players, Dwayne Wade, Melo, Bosh, LeBron James, who's he attracting? Those guys are on their way out the door. You don't want a coach that's going to attract themselves to 32 and 33-year-old stars now. You wanted someone that was going to play to the young kids, to the 23, 24, 25-year-olds that were coming out into free agency now. That's who you wanted.
Yeah, and let you know, which goes to the point of Kevin Durant mentioning as the Knicks not being a cool team.
No, and you want to know what else about, if you want to be honest about dropping the ball, here's the one thing. A Knicks fan would have been more sentimental, would have been more understanding and willing to give a guy like Mark Jackson, one of their own, a New Yorker and fellow New York Knicks, a shot. Facts. You don't think that we'd be like, all right, well, he's building something. We didn't know who David Fizdow was. We didn't want him. All we knew was we were told David Fizdow turned down other jobs, better jobs, for the New York Knicks job.
And I'm hearing reports that they might be talking, what is it, Messiah or something like that?
Messiah Ujiri from Toronto. Let me tell you something. He's everybody wants him. He's a guy that can call his own shot. It's that those reports.
The question is, would the Knicks, would they make that move? Because we hear these things and it all sounds great. But what's the sense of telling us that if you have no intentions on making it happen? Now, I don't know what his contract situation is with the Toronto Raptors, but obviously it's going to cost a lot of money to get him here.
Once again, we don't even know if there's any truth to that. That could just be people looking at it and being like, well, don't chase him once. You could chase him again. Remember this. As bad as everyone wants to tell you Phil Jackson did here, remember his first move, his absolute first move was replacing Mike Woodson with Steve Kerr in the Garden. And Jim Dolan didn't want to give Steve Kerr 5 years. So they can't. His first ever move as Knicks president was to bring on a coach who, before this year, everyone was saying was one of the best three coaches in all of basketball, who transformed the Golden State Warriors into what they were, right? And stop me when this stops making sense, you know what I mean? So it's like, Phil did terrible here, but who was behind that move? So then Steve Mills comes in, and all of a sudden, like I said before, we know that Phil drafted Ntilikina. But we also know, as bad as Dennis Smith Jr. has looked, now Steve Mills is going to separate himself from that after coming out against Frank, right, and saying, I really wanted Dennis Smith Jr. Why? Because Dennis Smith Jr. had some amazing dunks and caused so much excitement.
Yeah.
So he ignored what Phil saw was an incomplete player. Who tore his ACL in college and came out after 2 years, whereas Steve Mills saw a guy that was exciting, and all of a sudden, now that you see how incomplete a player he is, now you're going to distance yourself?
One thing I will say, I got to give Fizdell his props, and like I said, all this falls on the coach's shoulders, and he's manned up to it. He's owned up to it. But the fact that Mills and Perry are angling to fire Fizdell, who has 2+ years left on a 4-year, $22 million deal, I don't know, man.
If you fire Fizdow, you fire everybody. That's my opinion.
Whole thing. Thank you. But this is the cancer. This dude has infected other front office people. And the fact that he stood up there and talked, and Scott Perry stood there and looked like a mannequin. Like, does he not have anything to say on this situation? He constructed this roster also.
Yeah, 100% correct.
Mills, again, reportedly selling owner James Dolan on his roster constructed to be highly competitive in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, I'll agree on that. They should be competitive in the Eastern Conference, but they're not. They're not. So if Fizdale is taking a fall for that, why shouldn't Steve Mills, who went to the owner and said, hey, man, trust me on this. This roster that we're putting together is good enough to be competitive in the Eastern Conference. So if they're not, if that's not the case, man, Mike, because like you said, you sign a bunch of players to one-year deals who's only concerned about themselves and maybe not so much winning. I mean, as an athlete, you do have pride, but it's also about money. It's also about money. How many times have we seen athletes take a ridiculous amount of money, Robinson Cano, to play on a caca team? How many times have we seen that, listeners? So, yes, he actually incriminated himself by saying that. By saying he went to the owner and told him that this roster is good enough. Well, if it's not good enough and this team is stinking the way that it is, then he needs to be responsible as well. And like we're saying, everybody needs to be fired. Everybody. Because Mills is a cancer and he's literally infected Scott Perry now. Because whatever vision that Scott Perry had, and we see his vision, as Mad Mike could tell you, listeners, he seems to bring in his own players.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. One thing that I've noticed about Scott Perry, and it's actually something that, like, looking back at his history, I don't know how we missed it. Scott Perry has a fundamental belief that you bring in veterans to help develop your young talent. And I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. And what he's done that in Sacramento. He's done it in Orlando. Orlando is a place that we just finished talking about their struggles due to a bad front office. It's something that Larry Brown believed in and Joe Dumars believed in Detroit. And not for nothing, if you take out that one world championship and once Rip Hamilton and Chauncey got old, and they've never been the same either. They've been fairly irrelevant themselves. So he's done that here effectively. I mean, the other night against Dallas, they won, and we were all excited about it. But Kevin Knox placed 34 minutes, and only had 7 shots. So let me ask you a question, Lloyd. Is the veteran leadership that Scott Perry believes in and believes helps develop talent, is that really helping develop, or is that stunting the growth? I mean, for Kevin Knox to play 35 minutes and take 7 shots, I mean, that same night, Frank shot the ball 4 times against Dallas. So Kevin Knox and Frank Ntilikina played a total of almost 70 minutes and took 11 shots. Meanwhile, Bobby Portis had 11 shots himself. Meanwhile, Marcus Morris had 17 shots. Meanwhile, you know what I mean? We can keep going down the line. Taj Gibson, 10 shots. So the young kids that we're supposed to be building our foundation around, or we're supposed to be building as our foundation, are taking back seats to these veterans. So are they growing, or are they becoming lesser players because of it?
Now, you want to know something, listeners, and Matt Mike? The one signing that made the most sense to me as of right now, it's probably not somebody that you're going to expect me to say it made sense. And to me, the one player or the one person the Knicks have signed thus far that has made the most sense to me is Marcus Morris. And here's why. But the only thing is they gave him a one-year deal. So could they have given... All right, they gave Julius Randle a 3-year deal with a team option for the third year. You don't think they could have gotten Marcus Morris for the same deal with less money?
Yeah, but at the same time, I thought Julius Randle, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say at the time, I thought Julius Randle, was the guy. Remember, I said something to you. I said, if you can't land Kyrie and Kevin Durant, I'm looking for ascending, you know, 24, 25 year olds, Julius Randle and
system, man, Mike, cause I'm really not. I really think it's a waste of money, and it could be the system.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you 100%. I'm just saying I don't want to be a hypocrite because I thought D'Angelo Russell and Julius Randle, to me, were just as the guys that I would sign and develop with my young core. But I think the system is bad because I don't think there really is a system. I think this positionless basketball has gone to his head. How many times do you see Julius Randle try to play the point guard role? He's dribbling. He's going nowhere. He's turning a ball over. He's missing open guys. We see it a lot, man. I just finished telling somebody the other night against Dallas. I was like, I'm seeing this guy. You don't realize how bad he is fundamentally. Like, you really, honest to God, don't realize how bad of a player man. He is. He's one of the softest 10 rebounding guys I've ever seen. His rebounds are, he doesn't block people out, right? We saw that all night. He's not blocking people out. He's getting beat on free throws, bro. Free throws.
And you know why we're seeing this? Because we get to, you know, we get to see him play.
Every day. And that's exactly... It's funny because that's exactly what I said. When we see it every night, or when we watch him on TNT, TBS, ESPN, we're seeing one game at a time. We're watching him maybe 7-8 games a year, and plus highlights, and we're looking at the numbers, and we're saying, man, this guy's improving big time. But then we get to see him every night, and I'm like, man, this guy really is a bad basketball player. He's not a good one.
Remember when the Knicks decided to release a statement apologizing to the fans? Just hours after it became clear that Kyrie and Kevin Durant, you know, spurned them for the Nets. And this whole thing, man, reeked of that same lack of self-awareness. It does.
Yeah.
It does.
But don't think that they don't realize that Jim Dolan went on the Michael K show and told the world, we know that people want to come here. And then Kevin Durant comes out and he's like, nobody wants to go there. And don't think for one second that Jim Dolan, when Kevin Durant said that, didn't realize Scott Perry and Steve Mills are feeding me lies. Nobody wants to be here.
I want you to tell me if you agree with this statement or not before we move on to the next topic. Dolan making Mills and Perry address the media, to me, only served to underline a real problem. Okay? And this is all about saving face for Dolan. All right? It's trotting out the front office. Dolan is hoping to control the agenda and get ahead of the criticism while also deflecting the blame, you know, from the actual source, which is him. Which is him. How the world of basketball otherwise perceives him seems to be what he cares about first and foremost. Not actually winning.
He's
dead last,
man.
In both categories, in my opinion. Dead last.
I honest to God, man, I love the fact that he did it. And I didn't love.
You know what? And I agree, listeners, we lost Mad Mike again. And I agree. I'm glad that he made them come out and do it. But again, he's the biggest problem. And you know, there's rumors going around and night in and night out, but all the time, that the reason why players don't want to play for the Knicks is because of Dolan.
I think, but that's what I'm saying, man. I think that it's only going to take one guy to come here win to change that whole perception. But I'm happy. Like I said, I was a little disappointed that they came out and burned and buried Fizdale, who I think is not a very good coach. But I don't think that I don't think this year is because of him. I just don't think that you can win in this league without a point guard,
You need him.
You know what I mean? Like,
maybe Julius Randle's game would be a lot different if there was a star on the team. He had Anthony Davis when he was with New Orleans. He wasn't
exactly. Exactly. And that's why I still think that if D'Angelo Russell was part of that plan B with him, I think you'd be seeing a completely different guy. I think you'd be seeing a completely different team. And in my opinion, that's where they dropped the ball. If I said Marcus Morris, Julius Randle, and D'Angelo Russell were the three players they brought in to play with this crew, I think you'd see a much better product on the field than Bobby Portis and Wayne Ellington, who's already out of the rotation.
And mind you, D'Angelo Russell is playing solid basketball now. Just throwing that out there before we move on, because we got to switch to the New York football teams, Mad Mike. Okay, now let's talk about your club, the New York Jets. And I want to see what you think about this. Is Adam Gase will remain the head coach for the 2020 season, at the very least. And this was stated by CEO Christopher Johnson this past Wednesday. And Johnson said that Gase's positive work with second-year quarterback, with second-year quarterback Sam Darnold and his collaboration with general manager Joe Douglas was enough to give him another season, despite sitting at the records that the Jets have right now and what was supposed to be a promising year for this franchise. Your thoughts on Johnson co-signing for Gase to be this coach next year for your football team, Mad Mike?
I didn't like it. I don't like it. But at the same time, our good buddy Joe Rivera actually just finished writing an article defending Christopher Johnson and arguing for Case to have another year. He basically said the injuries, the bad offensive.
Yep. Mad Mike is in and out. That reception, listeners, that reception is going in. But, you know, this team has had tons of up and downs, you know, during the season, and that's leading the fans calling for Gase's job, including myself and Mad Mike, you know, during the season. Oh, we got him back now. And Johnson acknowledged the team struggles. But go ahead, Mad Mike, go ahead and continue saying what you were saying.
No, I was just saying that it's, to me, it's just been, it's using, you know, I know injuries are, you're not supposed to use it as an excuse, but I also understand that you just can't have that many injuries and expect good things to happen. I keep saying it. To me, he's lost the locker room. In my opinion, he started, there's just been too much of an uproar. And if you say that's unfair, I respect it. But at the same time, we've been talking about perception. This entire show, and you can't be tone deaf to the perception that this is here. Here's a coach that's never won anything in this league, who just doesn't know how to build relationships with his players. And I feel like we continue to see that here. I mean, Jamal Adams, you don't know if he's going to be a Jet next year, simply because you just don't know what his relationship is with the front office and the coaching staff. Lev Bell, not happy with his use. And let's be honest, he hasn't shown any creativity in using Lev Bell. If you talk to Joe Rivera, he'll tell you he was never a fan of the Montgomery signing. He thinks that he's an overrated player, and his lack of play is blown out of proportion. I think that not finding a way to use a guy like Ty Montgomery, who was a wide receiver, who moved from running back to wide receiver in college, came into the league as a receiver and moved back to running back. If you can't find a creative way to use a guy that can play both positions, to me, you're just not a creative offensive mind. You're overrated more than he's overrated. So that was just my take on it. I think that is a mistake. But at the same time, did we expect anything less? They're still paying Todd Bowles. Remember, they gave Todd Bowles a 2-year extension and then fired him. They're still paying Mike Maccagnan. They're going to fire Adam Gase after signing him for 3 years after year one. Nah, they're just not going to do that. We're stuck with this, which is why it was such a bad hire to begin with.
No, you're absolutely right. And, I mean, like you said, there's issues with Jamal Adams. What's going to happen with Jamal Adams? And on that note, the Jets...
Quincy Enunwa this week?
Yeah.
Posting his finds on the big board for the world to see, for the media to capture? Like, what are you doing? Find the guy and move on. Yeah. I think Quincy Enunwa was totally wrong in the situation, but you don't win over a locker room by alienating players. You just don't do it. There are players that are loyal to Quincy Enunwa. There are players that are saying... Quincy Enunwa's been a stand-up Jet. He's working his ass off with a 50-50 chance of ever playing football again. Like, you know, you just can't do that. There's certain things he doesn't realize. And in New York, it's a big deal. And from all the stories, that's something that he used to do in Miami, too. He would make players' fines public to embarrass players. He says it's not to embarrass players, it's to deter his players, the other players, from doing it. If you see how embarrassed one guy is, you don't want to end up on that board. Well, that's excuse my French, a bullshit way of looking at things, because it's not what it's meant to be. Like, why are you doing that? That you're not building chemistry. Bill Belichick gets away with scaring players into discipline because he's won or been to 10 Super Bowls or whatever you want to say. Adam Gase has done nothing in this league. Nothing.
Yeah. Oh, man. And I mean, let's also add that the Jets did beat the Redskins yesterday.
Yeah. And Sam looked amazing.
Yeah, he did. Really good game. But, I mean, it also could be said, you know, I said two of the Giants wins, you know, one was against the Washington Redskins and the other one was against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And the Washington Redskins, you talking about a terrible team. They're a terrible team.
Yeah.
And I thought that they would actually beat the Giants, because I had the Giants pegged as a 2-win team, and I give them 3 tops. And I think the Giants should very well beat the Redskins again. And I think the Giants are going to lose to the Dolphins, but I think they should beat the Redskins. The Redskins are a terrible team. Terrible. boy. And let's talk about, you know, real quick, Dwayne Haskins. All of that, oh, you made a mistake. You should have picked me. Oh, boy. Woo. That's why sometimes it's just.
You know, but I will say this about him. And this is why I say that sometimes you got to make sure you have the right coach in place. I think that Jay Gruden did one disservice to this kid. If you know the kid's not ready, you don't got to go public with it. You know what I mean? Once he went public and said Dwayne Haskins isn't ready, which isn't shocking because remember something, Dwayne Haskins was a 1-year starter in college. And if Ohio State wasn't so amazing because they're so much more talented than everybody, maybe he wouldn't have been on the radar for what he was. But to me personally, I'm just like, yeah, you went public. You put a bullseye. You told the rest of the world that, you know, this kid is struggling. He's not ready. And now we're seeing the struggles and how much he's not ready. And we're already ready to throw the towel in and call him a bust. Yeah, but no, he's not ready.
It's also a matter of sometimes just being humble. You know, like Kendrick said, like Kendrick Lamar said, be humble, sit down. You know, he started running his mouth and didn't even throw one damn pass in the NFL.
Yeah, you're right. But let's also, and I've heard others talk about this too. Actually, heard Chris Canty mention this Sunday. You got to remember something. Daniel Jones probably had the best quarterback coach there is in college football. He was a 4-year senior, 4-year starter, older than older than most guys and more coached up than most rookies coming in. And he's got 16 turnovers in 7 games. He's got zero pocket awareness. And by the way, how disgusting is it that he's trademarking Danny Dimes? Like that's another thing. But it's unfair to him because some of these guys that come in, look, it's not like Urban Meyer has churned out, and this is the one thing I said, it's not like Urban Meyer has churned out top level prospects. And like you said, yeah, keep your mouth shut. If you're not ready for this league, keep your mouth shut coming in. I do agree with that 100%. But, you know, he wasn't ready. And the coach should have never went public with it. Because now we really are magnifying his performances.
That's it. The one good thing that's going on for me right now is you guys are one game up on us. So that gives us some breathing room to win a game and still sit in a good position to get a high draft pick. And speaking of the Giants, let's move on to the Giants real quick. All right. And I feel that we at least should have heard from Dave Gettleman this week as the Giants have a bye week. You know, we should have heard from the leader of the story NFL franchise about what he thinks about a 2-8 record and a 6-game losing streak. We should hear from Gettleman, you know, what is going wrong and what, if anything, he thinks is going right. Instead, we've heard nothing from Gettleman, nothing from co-owners John Mara and Steve Tisch. Nothing from any decision maker other than Pat Shurmur, you know, the embattled head coach who is left on his own to fend off critics. Yes, Shurmur should go. Yes, we understand. Get him in. If you want to say never spoken to the media during the bye week. He didn't do it when he was general manager with the Carolina Panthers. He hasn't done it during his 2 years with the Giants. Okay, the Giants GM hasn't spoken with reporters since the beginning of training camp in July. All right, his way of doing things, but it's a sad succession to the offense that he holds. George Young, for those who don't know, okay, George Young, who should be in the NFL Hall of Fame, answered every message. Ernie Accorsi was cut from the same cloth, all right, listeners? Even when social media was emerging, Jerry Reese always had a bi-week session with the media, even in the darkest of times. It's a part of the reason the Giants were viewed, in my opinion, as one of the best-run organizations in professional sports. There was always a sense of transparency, all right? A sense of, you know, there was a connection with the fan base. Even Mara and Tisch, the co-owners, who inherited their father's passion for victory, you know, they weren't afraid to voice their opinions. According to reports, listeners, and Mad Mike Mara was clearly steamed, you know, when he left MetLife Stadium without acknowledging reporters during the loss to the Jets. Normally, Mara would have said something by now. He hasn't. No one but the players and the coaches have talked. All right, look around town and the leaders of this franchise, for better or worse. Who stepped forward? Who stepped forward? It's, you know, I mean, it's, this is,
you, yeah, I mean, you talk about, I'm
you know, the Knicks franchise being a joke of an organization, right? Okay, now let's talk about the New York Giants. And look around town at the leaders of the other franchises, for better or worse, has stepped forward. Whether you agree or disagree with how Steve Mills and Scott Perry hijacked the Knicks post-game press conference last week after that loss, you know, at least they, at the end of the day, by the urging of Jim Dolan, voiced their frustration. At least they faced the media with an opinion. They spoke to the fan base. Even the Jets look better than the Giants. CEO Chairman Christopher Johnson, who often chats with the media during practices, announced head coach Adam Gase, who's returning for next season. You can agree, disagree, or suggest Johnson should have waited. You know, but at least ownership, in my opinion, you know, is made public in support of the head coach. Meanwhile, when was the last time you didn't hear from Yankees GM Brian Cashman for the whole entire season? When? When? Gettleman is visible at practices and often games. Well, hello? Hello?
And well, here's the thing, right? Gettleman.
You deserve more as Giant fans, man.
No, you do, but Gettleman doesn't respect.
Matt Mike and listeners, you can't hide. I'm sorry, Matt Mike. Go ahead. I'm just
I was just saying that you're not wrong. I agree with you 100%. But we're talking about Gettleman doesn't respect. He doesn't respect. First of all, this is a Boston guy. He doesn't, regardless of what he tells you about how long he's been here, blah blah blah. He doesn't respect the New York media. He doesn't feel like he needs to answer to the New York media, and he doesn't feel like the fans. He doesn't feel like you need to hear from him. He doesn't feel like your feelings matter. Like, just because you want a pound of flesh doesn't mean that he's gonna give it to you. So you can finish. That's just what I wanted to say about him.
Yeah, I just think it's a shame that players have to stand in their lockers week after week and offer support for their coaching staff and teammates. They're asked to be accountable to the franchise, the city, and, you know, each other for that matter. The GM should help. I think he should be held to the same standard, listeners. I really do. I mean, when you think about what has he done outside of trade away the best player that the Giants had on their roster outside of Saquon Barkley? What has Gettleman done? What has he done to put this organization over the top or back to any type of relevancy? What has he done? He hasn't done anything. He's made this organization take steps backwards. And you see how Odell Beckham Jr., he's not doing well in Cleveland. And just think, you know, how good it would have been for Odell Beckham Jr. to have Daniel Jones, and how good it would have been for Daniel Jones to have Odell Beckham Jr. along with Saquon Barkley. And after you turn around and say, why would he sign him to a deal and trade him, and then turn around and trade him? Come on, man. If I'm the owner of the Giants, first off, say what you want to about Dolan, and sometimes Dolan just does the dumbest things. He would have vetoed that. He'd be like, nah, what are you talking about? You're not trading Odell Beckham Jr. He's staying here. Why in the hell didn't the Giants owners do that? Why
we have they proof just of that him? Because
That's just like, you know, man, Mike, that's just like having a Bugatti or something, and I just give you the keys and be like, all right, you could tear my shit up. Excuse my French, because I never curse. Or I hardly curse. Yeah, you can tear it up. Go ahead. All the hard work and this is my pride and joy vehicle. Go ahead. Just tear it up, Mad Mike. I don't have any problems with that. This is exactly what in the hell is happening to this Giants franchise.
I hate to say it simply because you know that I didn't like the Gase hire. You know, I didn't like the Fizdale hire. You know, I hate what the New York Mets did when considering you could have had Chaim Bloom and then Joe Girardi. You end up with Brody Van Wagenen and Carlos Beltran. Say whatever you want, Carlos Beltran mired in this Houston Astros situation. But when I look at the Giants, I don't remember who the hot names were at candidate. I do remember they could have had Louis Riddick, who, you know, Mike, we don't know what he is. We just know him as an ESPN analyst, yeah. But we also know that his first move would have been moving on from Eli Manning. He said he wouldn't have drafted Saquon Barkley. He would have made a quarterback his main priority last year. But the reason I'm saying that is Gettleman was here for the wrong reasons. He got hired for the wrong reasons. We don't know who Lewis Riddick would have hired as coach. We know that Gettleman, who was in our eyes the wrong hire as GM, went and hired Pat Shurmur, who was also the wrong hire in our eyes. Another thing that I'm going to tell you that I don't like, I want the Jets to get away from it. I'm hoping a lot of teams get away from it. The Giants are actually guilty of this too, and I hope that they finally see it. Who's I forgot the name. He came from Carolina. He's the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants, but he doesn't call the plays.
Oh, yeah. That's why you can't think his name, and I can't think of his name because he's irrelevant.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? And the Jets do it too. The only reason I know Dowell Loggins' name is because I'm a Jet fan. But, you know, the Jets have an offensive coordinator who doesn't call plays, who does nothing.
He does. He throws a red flag. He challenges.
Yeah. And to me, it's a problem because the same argument I make about Fizdale, point guard is a position for a reason. Offensive coordinator is a position on your coaching staff for a reason. When you think as the head coach that you're so smart that you don't need a real defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator or special teams coordinator because you're that good, we have a problem. And that's why you see these teams, in my opinion. You know, for every Andy Reid, there's 12 guys that are not Andy Reid. You know, when you look at, for every Andy Reid, there's a Pat Shurmur and Adam Gase, for example.
Let's also throw out the fact that when he was with Carolina, what did he do? He let Steve Smith Sr. go? At the time, he let Josh Norman go. At that time, he's one of the best corners in the NFL. He let him go?
Yeah, but you also forget something. Those division titles, go look it up. Those division titles, we're talking about a Carolina Panthers team that was winning division titles at 8-8, 9-7. We're not talking about a Carolina Panthers team that was dominating. Outside of the Super Bowl year, we're talking about a team that hovered around 500. We're not talking about a team that he left in good standing. He left that team a mess. They got fired because they had a shutdown cornerback that he didn't believe in. How can you take credit for having this shutdown secondary and then say it's my coaching staff, not the players?
Boy, I tell you.
You can't, you know what I mean? Like, you can't take credit for finding Josh Norman in the draft and then tell me that Josh Norman is the product of your coaching, not the player. I mean, you can't do both. It's hypocritical.
Can it get any uglier for some of these New York teams' front office? But let's move on before we go to your rant for the week. Let's move on to baseball a little bit, listeners. As the winter meetings took place, I don't think anything crazy went down in the winter meetings outside of, you know, me hearing over and over again that the Yankees have interest in Gerrit Cole and Strasburg and Lindor, which I don't think any of that is going to happen, and we're going to end up with Jordan Montgomery as our, you know, third starter in the rotation. But that's for another story. Let's talk about the Houston Astros and all this cheating that's, you know, that they're getting caught with at this particular time, Matt Mike. You know, there's been reports and there's a lot of, you know, stuff going on where the Houston Astros are practically at this point being busted for cheating. What's the consequence that this team could possibly face if it gets to that big of a situation, Matt Mike? They're not going to take away a World Series title from them. They're not going to take away wins from them. They're not going to take the World Series title away and give it to the team that they beat. What does Major League Baseball do in a situation like this to correct this, to punish them, Matt Mike? Because taking away draft picks, to me, that's not a punishable act. It's not. Because to me, draft picks in baseball aren't the same like they are in basketball and football. And hockey, so to speak. So what happens, Matt Mike? What do you think baseball should do to deal with the Houston Astros in this situation? Your thoughts real quick before we go to your rant.
I think that you're going to see loss of draft picks. I think you're going to see unprecedented fine. I think you might even see a GM and AJ Hinch both suspended for the entire year. If what's coming out is true. I mean, you know, a week ago we got word that they were videoed. They had a video camera in center field, and they put a screen right outside of the dugout, and they had the feed sent straight basically to their dugout, right outside of their dugout. And now just as recently as this past Saturday, we find out that they were sending, and I saw people and other GMs and from other teams want to know to what extent, because the report isn't very clear, but apparently they were putting they quote on email, instructing their scouts to go binoculars and cameras, and steal signs from the stands. I don't know if they were stealing signs during other teams' games or if they were stealing signs during Astros games. No one is clear on that, but you need to think about this. If these people were going to Yankee versus Red Sox games and Indians versus White Sox games and, you know, Angels versus Oakland A's games and stealing signs from those games, so they already had the signs ahead of time before they even got on the field with these teams, you have to think about how much that changes the game. You know what I mean? Like, think about that for a second. Like, so I'm stepping into your stadium and you already know what I'm coming in with. You already know when I'm stealing second. You already know when I'm doing this. Like, that's a problem. That's a real problem. And MLB has to, they're going to have to come down with the hammer. Here's a problem. Something I don't think you mentioned. Two of the biggest names, biggest culprits on this, apparently based on emails and sources, is Carlos Beltran, newly hired by the New York Mets, and Alex Cora, who, by the way, was also in the dugout when the Red Sox were caught using cameras and Apple Watches to steal signs from the New York Yankees. So what happens to those two, if any of this is true?
See, that's my whole thing. I just, you know, that's the thing. Like, how does this stop? You know, how I don't know, man. I don't think baseball is going to do anything, in my opinion, punishable enough to for these organizations or these individuals to get what they deserve. I don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, this one thing, man, Mike, you know, I played professional baseball in the minor leagues with the Phillies for 7 years. And I still play, you know, baseball recreationally, but, you know, it's with a lot of guys that play pro ball and stuff like that. Stealing signs, you know, it's not ethical, so to speak. But if I'm on second base, right, and I'm on second base and the catcher is not switching up his signals and I could give my teammate the edge because of that, yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. That becomes a chess game at this point. You know, at that particular point in time, it's a chess game. But the way things are going down now with the cheating, that's absolutely ridiculous, man. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And I have no faith that Major League Baseball is going to do the right thing in this situation. I just don't. They have to prove me wrong. They have to prove me wrong. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens and how baseball handles this. And it's going to be interesting to see, like, what's your opinion on it? Because to be honest with you, I couldn't even, you know, say if it's right or if they hit a home run or if they didn't. So I'm going to truly rely on you and our good friend Joe Rivera from the Sporting News, columnist from the Sporting News, you know, as far as your opinions, and take your opinions for what it is on if Major League Baseball got it right or not.
Look, if we were being creative, if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm fining, I'm suspending front office, I'm suspending the GM, I'm suspending the manager. They're both going to get fines. I'd probably do something drastic, like saying, you want to know what? I don't know. What's the salary? I think 207 right now, $207 million is the floor. I don't know, whatever they have. I'd deduct into that. I'd say, you know what? For next year, you can't spend more than $190 million, and that's a hard cap. Figure it out.
Yeah. Wow.
Something, you know, like, it's got to be something drastic. Something that, but at the same time, I don't know that you can do that. I don't think that I think that would cause, I don't want to say it, obviously, see, to me, I'd penalize them by causing, you know, a creative, a competitive balance issue for them. Creating a competitive balance issue for them. The same way, to me, you videotaping, stealing signs, and doing all these things created a competitive balance disadvantage for the teams you were playing, right? They didn't know that this was going on. They didn't know to what extent. So if you're MLB, How do you penalize them? How do you now put them at a competitive disadvantage? You limit the amount of money they can spend. I've never seen it done in baseball, but we saw it done in football when the league did it to the Dallas Cowboys and to the Washington Redskins the year after the strike. They limited the amount of money that they could spend for manipulating the cap during the strike shortened season or whatever it was. So look at it from that standpoint. It's been done before. I just don't know if it's ever been done in baseball.
All right, so we're going to keep you up to date with that, listeners. But before we close out the show, it's that time of the show that we know and love where we let Mad Mike give his rant for the week. So, Mad Mike, what do you have for the listeners and for myself for your rant for the week? What is Mad Mike pissed off about?
Well, one thing that I'm pissed off about, Lloyd, is you remember me and you had a conversation once when the World Baseball Classic started, and I was like, you know, Marcus Stroman and Nolan Arenado, here at Puerto Rican, you know, players of Puerto Rican descent or have parents that are Puerto Rican and they're playing for the USA. Remember we had this whole, you know, what do you think of that? And should they be playing for Puerto Rico or should they be playing for the United States? Well, I've watched two players over the weekend get absolutely destroyed by fans, get absolutely destroyed in social media. Outfielder Jonathan Jones and infielder Noah Perio, who were playing for the national team for Mexico, who have represented the U.S. in the past, but they were playing on the Mexican team that, I don't know if you know this, but they eliminated the United States over the weekend for the final spot in the 2020 Olympics. So the U.S. will not be playing in the 2020 Olympics, and Mexico took their spot, right?
Wait, man, so now I was even on a U.S. team. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to break your rant.
No, I'm just saying. So my issue is, if you're going to defend guys when they choose to play for the U.S., how dare you go after these same kind of players that choose to play for Mexico, Puerto Rico, or anywhere else? You can't have it both ways. You know, this idea that you're more important has to stop. Celebrating Stroman because he played for the U.S. and criticizing Jonathan Jones because he chose Mexico over the U.S., that's just wrong to me. It just is. So when I look at American values is built on our rights to make our own decisions for ourselves, right? Well, if you're calling him un-American for playing for Mexico, aren't you un-American for trying to steal his right to play for Mexico?
All right, listeners, and there you have it. Wisdom and a rant for Mad Mike. Great point, Mad Mike. That's a really great point. But before we close out the show and I cut you off, I'm so sorry that I cut you off during the rant. Who the hell was on the U.S.? Who was on the U.S. men's team roster where they got beat?
I, you know what, man? I couldn't even tell you. Yeah. I'm gonna go out and say that it wasn't anybody.
Yeah, my whole thing is that, you know, most, and I give credit where credit is due, because when they had the World Baseball Classic, you know, the top Dominican ball players play for, you know, Dominican Republic, the top Puerto Rican players, they play for Puerto Rico. You know, the Netherlands, all that stuff. But when it comes to the United States, you know, the Verlanders and all those guys, they want no parts of that. None whatsoever. None. And that seems to be the case with, you know, basketball. We just witnessed that with basketball. You know, so could that be the growing trend now? We'll see. But anyway, listeners, that brings us to a close of this week's show. Me and Mad Mike, I'd like to thank you, the listeners, for sticking with us. And please, like we said, spread the news. Get the word out about this exciting show we have going on. And we want to thank our producer, Ayo, Omar Baker, for keeping this thing going. So listeners, please have a safe and blessed week. And me and Mad Mike can see you in 7 days. So Ayo, let's roll, baby.
If you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, they were able to pick up a win over the weekend against the Chicago Bulls. They're right there in the middle of the pack. In the Eastern Conference, they're probably going to move up a couple of slots, but they're pretty much what I expected them to be. Knicks, on the other hand, they're playing tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll see. I don't know. I don't know what world I live in where the Cleveland Cavaliers ended up being a better team than the Knicks, but whatever. Shouts to everybody tuned in to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Show, PMF Sports. Every Monday, brand new episodes drop. You can head to LloydAThompson.com with any questions you may have. Follow on Instagram, on Twitter, at Lloyd A. Thompson. Check it out, partofmyfresh.com. Click PMF Sports. Whichever way, this is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, everywhere the podcasts are available. So once again, brand new episodes every Monday. Tell a friend to tell a friend. We'll catch y'all, as Lloyd said, in 7 days. Peace.